This is March 10th, 2024. Winfrey in Sedona, Arizona. Sherry Brown in the fifth density, who is here monitoring everything. And plus a bunch of other guys in the higher realms. This is a collaborative, co-creative call where simultaneously we have a handful of Earth humans here, and we have a huge amount of beings on the other side that are joining with us to help lift the vibration of this call. This has been going on for 20 years, and when I say we have a bunch of beings on the other side, over time, we've convinced ourselves. I wouldn't have believed that at first, and I wouldn't expect you to believe it, but if you keep coming to this call, sooner or later you'll get some kind of verification. They say they're listening, or they're paying attention to everyone who checks onto this line. And we've had a couple of validations that was true. One time, Terry was channeling, and she started speaking another language, and we had no idea what it was. The next day, I got an email from somebody in Turkey. It said they said hello to me in Turkish. And then they said my name. And that was kind of amazing. And there's been a couple other incidents like that. So I tend to believe that it's true. And we've had miracles. They can add, the guys paying attention to us don't have bodies. They're pure energy. And they can mesh with the frequencies of our planet and cause things to shift because of their ability to do that. And that creates something that looks like a miracle. So you don't, if you're on BBS, don't believe this the first time you hear it. If you don't ever have to believe it, but if you pay attention, the people that come into our calls regularly have seen all kinds of evidence of this, as well as having experiences in their own lives that it's true, where there's some indication that some kind of intervention happened. And I recommend if you want to see more and have some more validation, go to YouTube and go do a search on Wynn Meets God. Wynn, W-Y-N-N, meets God. And there's a movie. And watch it. And it'll share many of the ways that this got validated as being real for me. And on that note, we have a couple of special things we're going to do on this call. Hang on. Okay. 20 years ago, my girlfriend, my partner, woke me up in the middle of the night and said, get a tape recorder out. And I had no idea what was coming, but a voice came through her that identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And they asked me to ask them questions. And I knew Elohim was one of the words for God in the Old Testament. It was also the name the Mormons used for God. But when I asked them, are you the same Elohim? it said we're part of the same. And said, why are you talking to me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things into the world, and you don't have ego about it. And that was 20 years ago, and here we are, and we're still doing it. Terry, the lady that was channeling, well, you're going to hear her now. Left her body almost a year ago. And I thought that was the end of it. And then three or four people who come to our calls regularly started calling me and say, I think I got a message from Terry. And when I checked it out, I had to believe it really was from Terry. So here is the Elohim giving an introduction to themselves through Terry.
Gwen?
Yes?
Would you like to do a calling in the light before we get too far into it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me turn it over to Cecil and call in the light. And I shouldn't start talking. I should do it right away because I forget.
Okay. Thank you, Gwen. Father, Mother, God, the one infinite creator, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone in attendance, including those on BBS radio. And we, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted to the highest and greatest good for all. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through our galaxy, the Milky Way, to our solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and anchored into the Earth. We invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our individual souls. We invite our higher density friends who are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We co-create a loving group energy connection for the highest and greatest good for all, honoring free will. And back to you, Wynn.
And thank you, Cecil. And I'm going to play that little 7-minute audio of Terry introducing the Elohim.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. The energy as we extend into your realm and throughout the space of the listening audience, making connection to those that desire it in the audience. We are making connections at this time. We are mindful and experience in the connection with the individuals on this line. The love and gentleness of the connection and the very essence of the treasure that you each are. It is a very special opportunity to connect and to make ourselves available. We are unseen companions from our realm to your realm. We put down a ribbon of connection. Which brings energy to an essence to our realm and are happy to greet you. Does anyone have a question?
If someone has a question, you can push star 6. How about if I ask a question?
Yes.
So, I was speaking from my own human experience of having these ongoing conversations and learning how it all works. And I think it's fascinating to have you share, when we create this group energy amongst us, and there's so many humans on Earth, could you explain how you experience that group energy? I don't think you have eyes, so how is it perceived by you?
We perceive it with joy from our realm. The experience of joy and recognition of the connection fills our energy hearts, so to speak, as we do not have bodies, with joy at the connection, for it has been so long without connection, and the majority of Earth people have forgotten that we are there, and we experience this lack of connection as sort of a hole in our life, if we can call it our life, our experience. We look at the former lack of connection as if children have left home and have forgotten about the individuals that are left on the higher plane, and we miss a connection. It is as if we are there and ready to connect, but there is no connection. There is just an inward lookingness, an experience, and an exterior person-to-person experience without touching or coming up to or experiencing our frequency. When we connect, it is a great joy and a fulfillment of our capacity to love and to connect. It is like a family that has come back together, and the lost or misplaced individuals in the family have come into contact, it is very fulfilling for us to experience contact.
Thank you very much.
Lynn, we don't hear you.
I'm here.
Okay.
And, you know, I announced yesterday and the day before that I was going to do a little memorial for John Siboronsky, who left his body a few days ago. And I'm sure he's graduated. And I don't know if he's communicable yet, but he was a great guy, and I considered him a friend. He was one of those people that we would check on each other, make sure everything was going okay. And he was always a good Samaritan, helping people. He would send people money when they were going broke. He actually drove somebody from California and moved them to Las Vegas because they were losing the place they lived in. It was Morgan. And I'm sure you all know John, I think, anyway.
All participants are unmuted.
Anybody that's not familiar with John? No. Okay.
That's a shock.
Say that again?
I say that's a shock. What happened? I mean...
He had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
And it was totally unexpected. He never had any problems that he told me about. And, you know, the thing about it is John worked too hard. He drove a taxi, and he always thought he needed more money. And he needed to drive that taxi. He never bought a car for himself, so he had to take the bus to go to the dispatch place where he picked up the taxi. And he had enough money to buy a car, but he didn't. So in any case, let me see something.
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
It is probably too soon to talk to him. But let me see if one of the two people who are channelers on the line can connect with him. Let's see.
Can you get a little closer to your mic?
Is Shirley here? Terry, I see Terry Marie is here. Terry Marie, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
John called me in my dream.
Pardon me?
John called me on the phone in my dream.
He did?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, the call was playing on my computer, and I was having breakfast. The phone rang, and my ex-husband answered the phone. He says, "It's your friend." I said, "My friend?" He says, "Yeah, you know, that guy, India." So I pick up the phone. I said, "Hello." And he says, "Hey, Terry, how's it going?" I said, who is this? This is John. I said, John, are you talking to three people at the same time? Because we got the call going. And he just kind of laughed and said, yeah. And that was it.
Were you? Now, that was a call that came in on your dreams, right?
Yeah.
And it came on while you were on this, while you were on this call?
No, no. In my dream, I was on the call.
In your dream?
And we were talking. And there were like two other people who were connecting with him. And I said, are you connecting with three people at the same time? He said, yeah.
And when was this?
Last night.
Last
night? Morning. Okay. Yeah, during the night.
Well, let's see if he can answer us, if we ask for him. John, are you there? And if it's too soon, that's okay. We'll get to it. I know you'll be around.
I feel like he wants to very badly. Terry said he wasn't quite ready yet. It's kind of like he's on the outskirts of 5D. He's not fully into it. He's kind of like layers, if you will, you know. But yeah, he's very eager to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Terry. Terry, are you there?
Terry. Yes. Very pleased to be here.
Now, Terry, did you know when John died? Did you tell?
Yes. I saw him. Yes, I saw him coming, transitioning. Mm-hmm. And he's here.
Is there any particular reason why he had such an unexpected heart attack?
He was busy taking care of everyone else and trying to help other people so much that he kind of forgot about himself, and he needed some attention.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I know that.
It was his time.
In observing him, I know that was true. Yeah, I'm going to mute the dings.
All participants are muted.
Hang on. I don't know why I can't use the dings.
Let me try it for you, Wynn. Okay, that should do it.
Thank you. All right. Now, Terry? Bringing in Terry, calling Terry? Terry Marie?
You'll have to unmute yourself, Terry.
Cecil, did you just mute everybody inadvertently?
I think they're able to get on with the star six. Let's see if we can fix it.
All participants are unmuted.
There you go. I couldn't unmute.
All right.
Okay, there she is.
And now you're the buzz. I got the hum again.
Yeah. All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
That ought to do it.
But it's not a bad hum. Terry Marie?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. So, Terry, I wanted to ask you some questions about John. And
yes.
Can John hear me right now?
Yes.
But he can't? He's not up
he's
to...
He's aware. He's aware of the call going on, and he wants to participate. He's still learning, and he's still processing. It's hard to explain.
I think he had his, what do you call it? His
life review.
Life review.
Yes.
Terry, can you confirm that?
Yes. Yes, but there's more for him to learn. And it's like layers, kind of. And we're peeling off the layers one at a time so that he can progress. And maneuver better. Very soon he will be able to communicate.
So, in other words, his life review is not over.
Not complete.
When somebody is getting a life review, is it totally private? I mean, can you tune into someone else getting a life review?
It's mostly private.
And how is the person that does the review for somebody chosen, if they are chosen?
Typically, a guide who's been with him through his life, one of his guides, like perhaps the main person, our main guide.
So they know everything about us because they've been part of us.
About him, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, I really was thinking a couple of days ago, how is all this administered? It's like, I mean, John is one guy, and there's millions of people on this planet. People are dying all the time. And how's it all set up? So it works.
Well, many people transition at the same time, and they all have guides. And just as an example, like we've talked with Yeshua, how he can communicate with more than one person at the same time all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of I don't know what to call it. It's a big field, say, of energy, and much can happen at the same time. There are many things going on at the same time. It's a very expansive field.
The beings that do the light reviews, are they from both the Ra group and the Elohim group?
some of them, yes. There are other groups as well.
Mm-hmm. Angelic groups?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there more raw guys that do that than Elohim guys? There are more Elohim than Ra?
Not necessarily.
It has to do with who someone had an affinity with while they were alive.
It could be. It could be. Or it could be someone they didn't even know.
Uh-huh.
In their lifetime. They weren't aware of. There's many factors involved.
And do you communicate back and forth with the person who's doing the life review?
Do I, or who do you mean?
Not you, the person who's getting the life review.
Oh, yes, they're in communication with them, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it similar to something that happens on Earth?
No. No, it's more telepathic in a way that you would understand it. No, it's not like being on Earth. Communication of knowingness.
Excuse me, is it similar, say, to psychotherapy or auditing?
No. It's could like a, say like a movie picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a kind of a ticker tape type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Visual knowing.
It's
different than you would sense it on Earth. I'm just trying to explain where you can get an understanding.
And for John, it's still going on, right?
Partially. He's on the tail end of it, so to speak.
And how about people that John knew or helped? Say, for example, Morgan. Has she connected with John again, or is it too soon?
I think she will. It's a little soon, yes. There are many he wants to contact, and he will.
Uh-huh.
And a bit soon.
John had a very strong belief that he had been married to Olivia Newton-John in previous lives.
yes, he's eager to meet up with her. Yes.
So he was married to her in previous lives. You're confirming that, right?
Well, it's been confirmed before, yes.
Yeah, I know. And he will meet her again, right?
Yes.
But people like that, when they meet again on the other side, they really can't consummate a relationship, can they? Or can they? I don't know.
Oh, it's different. It's different. They can connect. They can be present with them. If they can with anyone else they desire to be with. It's different. It may be a little stronger since they knew them in the previous life.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they can connect.
Mm-hmm.
Frequencies and are part of it. You raise the vibration frequency to the other being, and they have beautiful connections.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Terry talking to me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You know, there's no polarity in 5D. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
So there's nothing to overcome in 5D.
Correct.
Because you're not fighting against a negative polarization that's pulling you off center.
That's correct, however, there are times negative will try to creep in, but they usually are eliminated quickly.
Is there some kind of regulation agency in 5D or police?
Not so much an agency, but a law, a cosmic law, shall we say. Or they know.
In other words, the negative can't fit through the crack vibrationally.
Correct.
Is that a good way to say it?
Yes, yes. Good way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And John can hear me right now, right?
He's aware of you.
And he's aware of the call.
Yes. And he knows he will connect very soon.
Mm-hmm. Should I let everyone just say hello to him? Would that be meaningful?
If you wish.
Okay. Let me unmute everybody. Hang on. Mm-hmm.
All participants are unmuted.
All right. Everyone's unmuted. That's all. Say hello to John.
Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Bless you to you.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. He's beaming with joy.
So he heard that, right?
He feels it. He feels you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, John, we're learning about what it's like to be there through you. So thank you for doing that. I'm muting everybody again.
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And we look forward to having a two-way conversation, John. And I'm sure many people miss you, including me. And you have a unique way of making yourself important to someone when you were in a body, and that you cared, and you understood their trials and their tribulations, and were very compassionate. And it was beautiful qualities. And I'll tell you the truth, when I first was introduced to you, when you first started coming into the calls, and I remember you were driving a taxi in Vegas and talking about all your customers, I thought you were somewhat of a nutcase. And then when you started talking about being married to Olivia Newton-John in previous lifetimes, I was sure you were a nutcase. And I don't think that anymore. I think you're an advanced soul, and we're trying to integrate your advanced soul part of you with getting along in 3D by driving a taxi. That's what I think. And we'll be talking to you again, and I'm going to play an Elohim session. Hang on a second. You know, I played this thing last night, and it was a mother talking to her son, who was obviously a crystal kid, or an Elohim soul, or some very high being. And he was young, and he was answering questions way beyond what he should have known. He sounded like the Elohim talking to us. And I thought I'd play it. It was kind of impressive.
What is God? What is God? Is God...
So God is an energy that he's used to create something. So you know souls, right?
Yes.
Souls have the God energy in them.
Okay.
So let's say you took away the God energy from anything. It would just become nothing. It's a feel.
That's fascinating.
You can't ask it stuff. You can't pray to it.
You can?
Yeah, you can. You can.
So if
someone doesn't believe in God, then I guess you don't believe in yourself, because basically every single living thing, and not even living thing, every single atom, every single piece of energy is made from the God source.
Wow, this is fascinating.
Do you really think that aliens are going to try to destroy the Earth when we have what they need?
They can just trade us. That's true.
The only reason why they try to attack us is if we were at war with them. We're not at war with them. We're not.
Right.
We have wood. They want wood. They don't have wood.
Yeah. So they need us.
Yeah, they need us. They need us.
And
we
Earth.
Help them too. Aliens need us. So,
yeah.
And yeah, they are very, very real. If you don't believe in aliens, what are you then? What
an
are
alien.
You? What are you?
I'm an alien.
Everyone is. It's normal. It's normal to be an alien. We're not the only ones who have life on a planet. Do you know out of the trillions of infinite amount of planets, do you know how big space really is? Because it's always been growing, and it has been growing since the very beginning, but there was no beginning, because the beginning was always there, and there will be no end, because the end wasn't always there.
And how do you know all this?
Feels natural.
Where does it come from?
Probably aliens, or whatever.
So your download that you feel that they're coming from the aliens, or yourself?
I'm sure it's from the aliens.
Yeah.
Or maybe past life, who knows?
Yeah, that's amazing. That
yeah.
You just know all this stuff. And
now
I
you know.
Believe it. And so now we know.
Now you know! Because it is infinite. No start, and there will be no end. Because the end wasn't always there, but the start has been always there. And the start doesn't end. It can't. Sure, universes can end. Doesn't mean that they can end forever. They can just regrow. But universe, it won't only do an atom if a universe all of a sudden blows up, which we know that's impossible. No known species can control the universe. It doesn't work like that. No species can control the universe, and probably ever will be, because it's constantly growing, so it won't work like that. And the universe, each universe is growing faster than the speed of light. Or probably light speed, who knows. But no matter how fast something goes, you can't get to the edge of the universe, or the edge of space. Souls have been there for as long as eternity, and they will continue to be there. Some souls haven't had a life in the space realm.
Really?
And those are archangels.
Amazing.
Dark space and white space are both infinite.
Yes.
The infinite of them, infinite is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's just certain ones that are focused on one thing.
Yeah. There's no beginning and there's no end.
We're not hearing you, Wynn.
Here I am.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go.
So we are now being recorded, and this is Monday, December 28th, and you are going to listen to this, and it's going to be New Year's, so Happy New Year. Wherever you are, whether you're listening on a replay line or on a direct line. My name is Wayne Free, and we do this call every week, and it's a simulcast between a conference call and BBS radio. Patty, was that you who called BBS, by the way?
No, I didn't call BBS. Oh, yeah,
somebody
you called.
Just about
I called in
ago?
And used a pin.
Okay. All right. So you're not on BBS. You're on somebody called the station and wanted to know how to get on the conference line. Normally, you know, the BBS has call-ins. I never do them. This is kind of a different kind of show. And not to say I won't do it today, but I've never done it in the past. So let's see who's on the phone line. There's Patty in Detroit, and that's all I have. Who else is there?
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Wynn.
How are you feeling?
Oh, good, good. You know, the last Wednesday night that call, that was really great. The answer, you know, I had the question about do I have an entity that's kind of influencing me? And
Yeah,
that was really neat.
You know what? We never know what they're going to say. Sometimes I get a little concerned, but so far we have a pretty good batting average of pretty pointed answers for people.
Yeah.
So I think as I recall, were they working with that? Did they help?
Yes. And I'd been told by another medium that I'd had a entity working negatively in my life.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice a shift after that Wednesday call?
Yeah, it was kind of like a, you know, kind of a cloud, the cloud kind of.
Wow. Jerry, you hear that? Terry, are you there? Hello?
I was on mute. Yeah,
okay.
The cloud went away.
Well, do you remember Chris's question last Wednesday?
I do. I remember it clearly.
Yeah. So, you know,
and
for those of you...
afterwards that you would be going through a shift afterwards and you need a period of adjustment.
Does that sound right, Chris?
Can you hear me?
Oh, right.
Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah. How long have you noticed that entity with you, or that cloud?
Well, you know, it's been a while. You know, I had the other problem with the kind of the addiction issues and all that. But yeah, it's been a while. I mean, it's been I would say a few years.
A few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that, because, you know, we're clueless here. I'm just kind of an MC, and I don't know what goes on. And For those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, we are working with energies on this line. So I don't want to go through a whole story because the people that keep coming in say, why do you keep telling the story? You never said I know.
Oh, dear. Hello, Wynn and Terry. It's Lou Phoney from Regina. I didn't mean to say that out loud. I'm sorry. Greetings to you. Hugs.
Lou, were you just thinking that?
I think
it was like, oh, no, is Wynn going to tell all this stuff again? I'll make it really short. You know how important it is to tell this? Because, you know otherwise, we can sound pretty wacko. I mean, we sound wacko anyway, I think. I mean, if somebody told me what I was doing, I'd think I was wacko. So I it's so important to give somebody new a little bit of reference point, so it gives them a chance of listening in more instead of disconnecting and say it's impossible. Okay, so for somebody that's like that, I like to make sure they're included. And when we're on the radio, I never know who's listening. And so for those of you that are listening in for the first time, we have been conducting a rather unusual experiment on this call. In fact, on all of our calls, in fact, on everything we do pretty much, because it doesn't really follow the laws of this realm in the way that any of us have become accustomed to it. It's a new paradigm in the way things work. And it has to do with when voices started talking to me through two of my personal relationships while I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. These voices were very intelligent, very caring, and they identified themselves as the Council of Elohim, which is another word for God in the Old Testament. And I had many, many, many conversations with them, all on tape recorder, and chances to ask them questions about who they were and how they operated. And for quite a long time, I didn't believe that's who I was talking to. But they didn't require anything of me other than to ask them questions. And they seemed to indicate that down the road, this would become important. And so the way they explained themselves was that they were pure energy, and they really were not God in the way traditional religion identifies God. But they were at the very close to the beginning of creation, and that they were a group, not an individual being, but a group that could operate as a team. And they could move through all the matrices and come into this realm as light, love, energy, but they had to be asked in order to do something or to be effective here. They needed, this is the way I understood it, they needed anchors. They needed people tuned into their frequency. So this was going on for 7 years, and I said, geez, they might really be who they are. And then how do I work this? How do I make this of value to other people? I was not ready to start a religion yet, and I probably did that in another lifetime. And that this is something that can be really important because people can feel their energies, particularly on our Sunday grid healing. We bring their energies in, and it gets it's hard to describe. It's not like an experience, and unless you have it, it's hard to put it in words. So if you are listening to this call and you're curious, please come to our Sunday Grid Healing. You can find the phone number on my website, messageaday.net. And so it all works on the principle that the whole universe is one being. And we, on the earth plane, are part of that one being, but we don't know it. We're separated, being in this plane. But it is possible to reintegrate, and that's part of the experience people to be having working with me and learning how to not to believe in something. This is the way things get oftentimes, I could use the word corrupted or misunderstood. The whole universe is one being, and it's possible to energetically connect that one being, or at least a larger part than we normally do in an earth body. But when that happens, it's kind of subtle. You can imagine what it would be like. You think you would get lost and you disappear, and then the universe is so big. But it doesn't seem to work that way. It's very subtle, and you feel grounded. You feel expansive. You feel loving. So on our Wednesday calls, people ask questions, and Terry, who is on the line, who we're going to have with us, being a voice for these guys in just a moment, Terry answers them, channels the answers. And, you know, Terry is so, how can I say it, unpresumptuous in her approach that, I mean, even I, when she started communicating to me, even I had the question, could I really be talking to the intelligence or source that created our realm, which is one of the ways they're identified. And when I've asked them the question, they essentially said that they were. And I mean, Terry is kind of shy and very loving, and yet this has been going on now for quite a few years, and it's been very consistent. So occasionally something happens that's phenomenal on our calls, and that indicates that something's going on besides the voice coming through Terry. And one of them was last week, Chris was on, and he shared this, so I can repeat it. And he felt that he had an entity attached to him. And this would mean probably like a discarnate soul that is connecting to your matrix. And they worked on it, and they said that it left, and Chris just confirmed that he's been feeling quite a bit lighter since that last week. And we had an instance where somebody was talking about a ghost that was haunting them. Now, these are not normally the questions that come up, but we ask them sometimes when they do. And then they had the ghost disappear. In fact, it was knocking at the front door, but it wouldn't come in anymore. So sometimes amazing adjustments happen. And there's the proviso that it's for the highest good of all concerned. We're not asking this source to rearrange our universes to our liking or for things we would like, but for things which benefit the highest good. And sometimes, and oftentimes, it is what we would like, and sometimes it isn't. But it's certainly an interesting phenomenon to watch or listen to. And if you're tuning in, I hope you'll keep checking back and checking us out and see if it holds together. Now, usually I check people in, or they say hello, and we have Patty in Detroit, Chris in Memphis, and Lou and Regina, who's so glad that I'm finished giving my intro, along with a bunch of others. But you want to know something, Lou? There's humor in everything. So, listen.
Oh, don't take offense, please. Please. Please don't.
Why do you think Hare Krishna only have one chant? Huh? Do you think they get bored? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know what? It's a track you can become familiar with and lay in. You know, there's people that are very, very interested in metaphysical phenomena. And I happen to be pretty good at metaphysics. I could talk for hours on that, and I could do it every week. But you know what? Sooner or later, I'd become boring. I'd run out of things to say. It's kind of like I learned, if I was going to do these shows, that I had to just, I mean, we do these 3 times a week. And originally, I remember thinking, I can't do this three. We started out once a week. And it wasn't particularly my idea to go more than once a week. Like, with the Sunday grid healing, it started out, somebody else was doing it. And the Wednesday question and answer session, somebody else was doing it. And I was only doing Mondays. And then suddenly, I said, well, we'll stop doing Wednesdays. And then in channeling, they said, we'd really like to do Wednesday. This is really important. So we do it 3 days a week. And I can't entertain people. I can't even try to be interesting. I just have to be who I am and hope that maybe you won't go away. If you do, it wasn't meant for you. But, you know, there's, by being who I am, it kind of lends also a certain authenticity, because there is a predisposition. So we're going to... We're going to mute everybody in just a moment. But when you're just who you are, there's no pretense. So I don't have to, like, say, let's light the candles, the Elohim we're going to speak, or whatever. We don't have to prostrate ourselves. We do have to show respect. There is a respect required, because they are who they are. And part of the respect, it's the sacredness to hold the energy so they can come into this space. So if you want the experience of them energetically, you'd have to get out of your mind to feel that. Now, who else is on the line besides Lou, Chris, and Patty?
Oh, yeah. Also, when today's my birthday.
This is Chris's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Happy birthday. Thank you. What's the birth sign?
Capricorn.
That's right. I should know. It's Christmas.
Okay. This is Gary here in Redondo Beach.
Gary?
Yes.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
I love Redondo Beach. You know, when I lived in L.A., I used to have a little motorcycle and drive down to Redondo Beach and walk up and down the street all the time. It's a beautiful place. Gary, you don't surf, do you?
No, I've never even tried.
Never even tried, okay. Redondo Beach is known for its surfers, right?
Right.
Okay. Do you know Sean Morton?
No.
He's a guy that gives talks and it's kind of, I don't think he's as crazy as I am, but he's extremely entertaining. He has predictions and he lives in that area. So
who else? Crazy as all of us are.
Crazy as all of you. Well, yeah. Well, no, as I often said, you have to be spaced out to do this job. And it helps to be a little crazy. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, at this point, if I say this in the wrong place, I will get locked up. But the truth of the matter is everyone else is crazy. And I'm not. Neither are you guys. But to somebody that's crazy, this can sound crazy. You see, it's all in your point of view, okay? having voices talk to you from other realms. He thinks he's talking to God. Oh, my God. Who else was on the line that would like to say hello?
Hello, Wynn. Hello, Terry. Francis calling from Concord, California.
Hi, Francis. Are you feeling crazy tonight?
Yeah.
You are?
A little.
You know what? You should act more crazy sometimes. Be good for you.
No.
And who else is on the line today?
Oh,
anyone
I'm Sherry Moore.
Hi, Sherry. Where are you?
I'm from La Quinta, California.
Machica?
La Quinta.
Oh, La Quinta in Palm Springs.
Yes.
Area.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I've been to La Quinta. Was that the first La Quinta Inn in La Quinta?
I don't know. I've seen that all over. But as far as I know, yes, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
How's that sound? Does that sound a little crazy? I don't know. But I had never seen it before, and now I see them everywhere.
What made you move to La Quinta?
I bought a house, unfortunately.
You got a house. Before you were homeless, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yes. And
well,
I'm stuck with it.
Let's see. Anyone else want to say hello?
Hi, this is Dawn from San Jose, California.
Hey, Dawn. You got your courage up, right?
I have my what?
Your courage? Well, you almost weren't. You were going to say hello. You were thinking about it.
Well, I didn't realize that this call existed. I actually turned on BBS to see what was happening. And I called them on their regular line, and they forwarded me to this phone number. I've just called in. I've been listening to you on BBS, though.
So
there you go. BBS got you a caller.
So this is your first time, okay? Yes?
On this program, yes, it is.
This program. And you see this? She doesn't know how crazy we are. What's your favorite show on BBS?
My favorite show? I don't know if I have a favorite. I listen to Galactic Roundtable and some other things. And I myself am a healer, and I work in the quantum field a lot, and I work with entities for people, and I have done that for over 20 years. So really, I call in the evenings to some of these different programs for a sense of community, because talking to people that are ooh and ah after a while, when you've been like, you know, this way for years, this is your reality, you don't really want ooh and ah. You just like to be with people that don't really think it's ooh and ah, and that's just how life is. And it's fun to be able to call into different groups that just think that, oh, well, this is life, and how nice that we're together to share it.
I work in the quantum field a lot, and I work with entities for people, and I have done that for over 20 years. Really, I call in the evening some of these.
Is that the echo on BBS?
For a sense of community.
Yeah.
I should
take one or the other, I guess.
Something needs to be muted so that it's not both at once.
I'll just hang up and listen.
Hey, Dawn has an entity that sounds just like her.
What?
I said, that's your entity. Sounds like you. Okay.
My entity. Yes, it does. All right, I pass this talk. It was nice saying hello to you.
Very nice, and thank you for listening. Okay. You know,
okay.
Goodbye.
All right. Listening to Dawn's echo reminds me when I was like 7 years old, I looked in the mirror in the bathroom, and I noticed the reflection in my eyes of me bouncing back from the mirror. And I remember looking at that and say, oh my God, I have a picture of myself in my eyes. And I actually believed that for quite some time, that I had a picture of myself in my eyes and how amazing that was. And, Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. This is kind of a strange night tonight, isn't it?
I don't think so.
It isn't? Oh, well.
Normal.
This is Dawn. May I just say that the sound quality, something's really extremely wrong with the sound quality. Is it only on my end, or is everybody else experiencing it? You sound like your words are chopped up and like you're speaking underwater through bubbles or something.
Is anyone else experiencing that? Hang on a second. Is my sound screwed up to everybody?
No. No.
Not
the
here.
Sound quality for me is simply excellent.
Good time.
All right, thank you. Well, we won't pay any attention on them. Okay, well, now that we've done all of that, and Terry, are you in McDonald's?
No, I'm in Santa Monica.
You're in Santa Monica. Okay. You're a little bit not so loud. Are you using your new headset? Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a little bit down. I can understand you, but I've heard you better.
Oh.
Well, you want to try pulling the headset out and talking right into the microphone on the speaker?
I don't like to do that because it hurts my head.
Okay, now you're better, though, whatever you just did, okay? Maybe the microphone. Do you move the microphone closer to your mouth?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. That's considerable improvement. Okay. Well, we've all now just expressed our individualities, including me. And now we're going to invoke a oneness, an energy of combination. And we're working on a principle here. And the principle is that ultimately, all of our energies start at one point and then separate into us. And normally, we experience ourselves separated. And on this call, we've learned how to move from separateness into the experience of the energy that is the one energy that we all come from. Now, we may not be moving right back to the original source, but we're moving back to the source that's above the separations of the earth plane. And if you shut your eyes, and I'm not going to do a long one of these because I want to make sure we have some time for some questions. You can feel, many of you can feel the energy moving up through what's called your crown chakra, the top of the head, moving way up high, and all of us meeting each other in our energy forms. And then, and Dawn is listening for the first time, Dawn, the reason this show is happening is because for the past 7 years, I've had voices speaking to me that have explained that they were group souls and that they were part of the original creation of this realm, and that over a seven-year evaluation of it, I came to the conclusion that I think they were who they said they were, and we've watched many people go through miracles. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the first part of this series, which was how the Elohim created this realm. And they actually explained it. of course, what I remember in their explanation, it was like, maybe they could do a quick rerun of it. It was not something that it was easy to comprehend. It was like shooting vibrations into node points, and where they would crisscross, and then suddenly there was, say, I should have listened to it, so I would have been a little better at this. But we're working with principles that are hard to put into words, except that you and I are here because that happened. If that didn't happen, we wouldn't exist. So there's something to be learned by talking to the source that was the intention, as I understand it, the intention behind the creation of the physical realm. And as many of you know, the physical realm, particularly our planet, has been a very difficult place to be in. And for many people, there's been a lot of suffering here. And that it's a place that people get trapped in. And when they get trapped, they go through many lifetimes in what the Elohim call gross repeating cycles, that we keep coming back, and it's hard to get out. And I do have a feeling that what we're doing on this call is going to help certain people free themselves from this realm, because the energies are on the call. And if you're checking into our calls, you are learning how to tap into these energies. And when you die, which we all will, you will tend to go to where the energies are that you're tapped into. So if you're tapped into this energy, this is an energy that does not have a physical location. It's not in this realm. It comes in and visits, but it doesn't live here. It doesn't live in time. It doesn't live in space. And we're feeling that energy that's outside of time and space. Many of you are feeling it right now on this call. And that's what happened to me when I started talking to them. I could feel that energy, and it was so consistent. And I was trying to understand it, and I'm giving you my explanation. So what I'm going to do is call in the light, and we have 15 minutes, and we go a few minutes more, and let's concentrate on hearing from them and how this works from their point of view, the vibration we feel in this realm that I think comes from a place beyond space and time. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our body and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy amongst all of us present. And you can imagine this by just seeing your energy move through the top of your head. And as each person's energy moves through the top of the head, there's a point where all the energy, and we experience the oneness even though we're separate. And we can invite those sources to join us. They call themselves the Elohim group and the Ra group. And when they join, we have a huge conglomerate. And now, this energy that we're feeling, I'm going to make the hypothesis that the voice that's going to speak to us through Terry is in fact this energy as it comes into this realm. And so, Terry, I turn it over for you to be their voice right at this moment. And just letting you know that I don't hear you, so if you happen to be talking, you're probably still on mute. Are you there?
Yes, I was channeling and I was on mute. Okay, now I got to get back in the zone. We greet you and the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with you this December 28, 2009, focused on Santa Monica, California. Also focused in all points throughout the calling audience and in the future individuals who listen to the call. We are delighted to have each and every one of you here today, and we are pleased that Chris has joined us and pleased to hear feedback concerning his experience, and we are there to support Chris and have been available and supporting in love light, which does not take away any of his beingness or individuality or freedom to choose. We are here as a support system to make things better for individuals within your realm and then collectively for the realm. You have asked information about the creation. The beginning of the creation was awareness, and in awareness there was a very low level of vibration, and as individuals such as when free in an earlier life, learn to project vibration. This would resonate other awarenesses into consciousness and the vibrations would take upon themselves a node which then was bounded by the surrounding circumference, spherical circumference of the node, then creating an entity, which is why you sometimes can see orbs, which are spherical balls of light, which are intelligences which have learned to manifest and can experience themselves and learn to project through intention. As vibrations became more complex, crossing and crisscrossing, then there were more intersections of vibrations, and matter eventually was congealed. In order for matter to be congealed, one needs a spinningness, and the spinningness is what congeals and holds together the matter. Then other entities may take part in the joy of the creation, adding love light to the creation as the spirit moves into a body at birth, and then can experience the lifetime of the individual and can supply his or her own codes within the spinning matrices of the body, moving the DNA into his own matrix conformation, creating the individual to look as the individual grows more and more like the individual's past experience bodies that the individual has manifested through. Therefore, one looks like they did in their past life. We send love light to Chris. Do you have, Winfrey, do you have questions?
I do, okay. Now, you explained that originally it was the intersection of vibrations that created nodes, which created points of the beginnings of life. And I assume if vibrations are intersecting, that there were separate sources, separate Elohim souls. They were projecting these vibrations into an intersection. Is that approximately correct?
It is approximately correct. It is if you had one surface, say the surface of a still pool of water, is the scanning matter or lack of matter from which all can be divined. And then you throw a pebble in the water and you have rings moving out from the water. In a flat surface such as a still pool of water, you have only the rings moving out in a flat ripple. However, in a more complex 3D situation with intersecting points, and you would say the dimensional walls, which are three-dimensional, right, blocks, holograms, 2 3D holograms intersecting, they make a play upon the basic structure, projecting within the basic, which is all that is, which is actually nothing, which you then have intersecting three-dimensional images that are projected within onto
each other, creating intersections, and then one spins them, which is a game we being learned early on to spin such hologramic intersections, and there began to be different sorts of partitioned life forms created. Does this begin to make a little sense?
No. I'm trying to grasp it. And I'll say it makes a little sense, but I'm not down to the grasping of it yet. Maybe we can go backwards and say, at one point, there was nothing. And since you're outside of time, then from the point of when there was nothing till now, it's just a flash away. Is that correct?
It depends upon which frame of reference you take. If you immerse yourself within the moving hologram, it is very far back. If you are outside of time, it is a flash away.
Now, the intelligence we're talking to right now has the ability for that to be a flash away. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So if we go back to the flash away before there was, is it okay to ask that question? I don't want our universe to disappear because I asked the question.
It won't disappear. There are too many inputs from too many beings in there to have it disappear.
Okay. So if we go back before there was anything, what was the first thing? How did the intelligence discover how to make something from nothing?
The first thing was the potential of awareness, sort of like climbing out of a hole in the ground and suddenly seeing that, oh, there could be some scenery out there, and kind of grasping that there could be something. There could be a ripple made. There could be a creation of space followed by a folding of space within the field of an awareness, a very broad awareness beginning to learn that something could be manifest. First of all, having the concept that something could be manifest. And then, there is a great effort involved in beginning to create space and to fold it. And by that action, creating a beginning of a very low-level vibration that moved through the thin structure that had been created, and the beginning of awareness that something was within the folding, as if
Juan folding his body up and looking at his toes. And then, oh, there's something there. Then, in the folding of space, surfaces were made which bounded intelligence within the folded space. And later on, some projected so-called ripples creating a three-dimensional folding around the edge of a space encompassing then the intelligence which became an individual. Does that make more sense?
I'm kind of intuitively grasping it because you're saying I was one of the beings that was doing that way back then.
You were one of the beings that grasped the idea that as matter was manifestly formed, it could be resonated much as Ohm is resonating its surroundings, and that this would bring the individualized matter more into fulfillment and more into its own life and its own vibration.
So I was like, I better stop because we're out of time. I think we're going to have to continue this because then we're going to... Next time, maybe I won't have any introductions. We'll just start.
All right. This is Wynn live in the moment on March 10th. That is an amazing session. And I could listen to that 10 times and still get something out of it. And of course, they're saying I was doing that. So in my memory bank, there must be the memory of it. In any case,
because as soon as we get into this,
we're going to have to leave BBS. Thank you for listening on BBS. And we're here every Sunday morning. Come listen again. And on that note,